Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, verse 1 or verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7, reading down to 14. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." Now, if you go to chapter 3, verse 1. Read down through here. This is what will be in the morning newspaper, as most newspapers. This is the events of the day. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Traitors, ain't that something? "Having a form of godliness." Now, this is the average church in America. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Walk away from that crowd. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this book. I pray you'd help us understand what's going on. I ask that you'd help us to realize our position. As born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we have been given the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, the more we study and learn about what's going on throughout the world system, help us not to come under the spirit of fear. I pray, help us to be faithful to your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, verse 7, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Generally speaking, when you look at the human race, when you look at man, on the average, throughout history, you will find that 3 to 5% of the people in the world are leaders who try to bring people into the right, into the good, into the truth. That's usually the rate, 3 to 5%, usually 3%. As far as the way America began, it was basically 3% that were the leaders that helped start this country, and the vast majority, 94%, followed them, and that's what birthed our nation. But it's only about 3%. Okay, now on the other side of the coin, generally speaking, throughout history, it will be 3% who will be leaders, quote, type, you know, quote, leaders, or shall we say tyrants or deceptive people who try to get that 94% to follow them towards evil. That's generally the pattern. Now the 94% or the 94%, that's usually what's called sheeple. Sheep who follow, you know, the so-called leader to their own destruction. Now, that's a sad fact, but that's about really the way the statistics run. As a born-again believer, hopefully you're in that 3%. as a Bible believer, hopefully you're in that 3% where you try to bring folks to Jesus Christ and to the light of the gospel and truth about other areas of life. But notice in verse 7, we are not under the spirit of fear. Now, of course, in America, you have all sorts of phobias. You know, phobia of leaving your house, phobia of being in a grocery store. Some will have those phobias where they'll get, you know, go to a grocery store and they'll and start getting a panic attack, you know, and get their cart half full and then and get out of there and then go home and now they got a cart half full. You know, there are people who have these phobias, they call them. You know, phobia for everything. And this is a spirit of fear. Another thing is what's known as paranoia. People are paranoid. And the more that you discover of what's going on throughout the world and how the world is getting prepared for the tribulation, you can see, you can actually see why people get paranoid. But you see, we're not under a spirit of fear. But the vast majority of people are. Fear is a great controlling tool. It's a great way to get people to do what you want. And of course, the masters of this are the 3% who want to control this world system. That 3%, they're masters of this, where they'll create a crisis, and then they'll be the hero to solve the crisis. But when they are the heroes to solve the crisis, that gets the people to give up more rights. But the people don't realize they're the ones who caused the crisis. If they hadn't caused the crisis in the beginning, why would we need them to be the heroes to fix the crisis? This is how Hitler got in power. You would think Adolf Hitler, you know, the German people were not, they're not dumb people. In the 1940s, the German people, 98% literate people, the German composers, you look at the German-built cars compared to other places, I mean, they're not dumb, but how did this get happen? Well, Hitler had somebody blow up some big fancy building, gets all this press, and then he says, he steps in, we're going to find out who did this. Look in the mirror, pal. Okay, and then they give the solution. And then, but the solution is always people giving up more and more rights, give up your guns, give up this stuff. And that's a spirit of fear. Now, is that going on today in America? No doubt. No doubt. You see, people at the top, a lot of times, United Nations, people don't realize the real intent of the United Nations. People think their intent is world peace. That's not even close of what their intent is. Their intent is a worldwide satanic witches coven. That's their intent. Now we let the cat out of the bag. Of course, the cat running the cat will be the catholic over there in the Vatican City. That's the real intent. Okay, but you see, the more you know these things, the tendency, the problem is that you could come under a spirit of fear, and that's a very dangerous thing. Get paranoid about stuff. Now, I don't know if you've seen it, but and I don't usually use movies as examples, but Mel Gibson had a movie called Conspiracy Theory. I'm watching this thing, and I said, I believe that. And my niece said she saw that thing, and they said, that sounds like Uncle Dave. Now, I'm not as paranoid as that guy where I got booby traps coming into my house. You know, I'm not that paranoid. But I do believe, I don't believe in what's called a conspiracy theory. I believe it's a fact. I mean, you just see this at the lower levels where a good man or good people will start an institution, say a Bible school, say like Harvard University. Harvard University the purpose of that university began to train preachers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the first 40 or 50 years of existence of Harvard University, over 50% of the graduates went into the preaching field to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was good men that started that place. Now, who's running it today? Evil men have come in and infiltrated it and took it over. That happens in every field of life. It happens in churches. It happens in schools. You see, this is why you don't find a liberal being a major national talk radio program. It's not a liberal that do that because they're as boring as anything. They don't come up with original thought. They're just parroting everything that they've been told. And it's not saying that conservative ones are right about everything either. They're not conservative enough because a lot of times the more national they get, the more compromise they got to give into in order to stay on the air. But even at that, the idea is if you know what's going on in the world and in America, and of course we try to praise that of people, the problem is that you can come under a spirit of fear. Now hopefully the Lord don't play a dirty trick on you like he did me to get me over that. I've told this before, and I'll tell it just, you know, briefly again, is, you know, when I started reading this stuff in the 90s, early 90s, you know, I was reading this stuff about all the conspiracy, you know, concentration camps, black helicopters, blah, 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 blah. Well, late on a Saturday night, midnight, you know, Jan and I are sleeping in bed, and all of a sudden a helicopter buzzes our house. You know, and the light shoots down, and it goes in our backyard over our house, and you know, all this stuff, and of course that wakes us up, and I look out the front window, it's a cop car in front of our house. And I go back in the room, and I said to my wife, I said, it's happening quicker than I thought. And so, you know, couldn't find the gun where I hid it. The problem with hiding stuff is you can't remember where you hide it. That's, of course, they say is the advantage of Alzheimer's. You can hide your own Easter eggs. But even at that, I don't have Alzheimer's, but I do have part-timers. Okay, but the thing is, you know, after 15 minutes, nobody stormed into the house, nothing happened, and we get calmed down, go back to bed, and then 2 o'clock, the same thing happens. And so, and then, of course, you hear the grapevine, this happened, about 3 different stories. The truth came out on Thursday in the papers. A young rookie cop was getting transferred, didn't want to get transferred. And so he took his own 9mm, shot his own gun, and then radioed in that somebody shot at him. So they were looking for an invisible people. And at that time, when I understood the real truth of the matter, the Lord just kind of said, relax. I'm in control. And that's how the Lord straightened me out. But you see, a lot of folks don't have those experiences, and they're still under a spirit of fear. Fear is a great way to control people. Mark chapter 4, the disciples were with Jesus on the boat, and a storm came up, and they were afraid. And, of course, that's a very logical thing to be afraid when you're on a ship, on the water. And the Lord was sleeping. Now, logically, if they had a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind at that time, they can just say, hold the phone here. Here's God manifest in the flesh. If this boat's not going down, he's not going down, I should be relaxed because he's relaxed. I should take a nap because I'm with him. I should realize in my mind that nothing dies in the presence of Jesus Christ. And if somebody happened to be dead in the presence of Jesus Christ, he just raises them from the dead. But you see, they didn't think that. They were scared to death. And Jesus Christ woke up and he said, what are you so afraid for? And he said, wind, be still. And that wind just, and those disciples said, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and sea obey him. That was something. That's the God you serve. That's your Savior if you're born again. In the next chapter, Mark chapter 5, you have the maniac of Gadara showing up. And when you get a real nutcase like this, and this is a real nutcase, bats in the belfry, they got bonkers and all this stuff, is because they're loaded with devils. And if you have a multitude of devils in your body, you would be rather odd. And so this guy shows up coming out of the tombs. I mean, if somebody comes out of the tombs and they're going to, you know, chewing on some bone or something, you're going to, whoa, what's this? And if you have ever witnessed a Satanist, of course, they always try to scare you. I worship the devil. You know, like some fangs pop out. Well, you just look at him and smile and say, well, you worship a loser. And, of course, that blows their whole thing because they think they're going to scare you so you don't tell them about Jesus Christ. But, you know, in actuality, the devils inside that person are afraid that you're going to say Jesus Christ. And they're afraid that you're going to use the power that you have over them. And in Mark chapter 5, after Jesus Christ save that maniac of Gadara. When the people came down and saw him in their right mind, what did it say about them? It says they were afraid. This is a fearful thing for people, but not for a born-again believer. This is what Martin Luther was talking about in here, in this song. He said, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him." That's that book. Now, does this man think, oh, he's just going to be the victor and everything, he's going to be, you know, never get killed? No, the next verse, he said, the body they may kill. So he knows what's going on. Here's one man. One man stood against the Catholic Church in the 1500s in their heyday, and he wasn't afraid about that stuff because he had power. He had love, and he had a sound mind. That's what God gave him. Now, under the spirit of fear, in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord forewarned about the last days, and he said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. And he said, be not troubled about. Don't let it bother you. It's going to happen. And in Hebrews chapter 2, the basic thing is what people fear is death. That's what they fear is death. So how does the world, how do those 3% evil get the people to be where they want to control them? Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. They'll promise these two things to the people, to the masses. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. And when they shall say, peace and safety, it's for your good. You know, give all this stuff up, give all your rights up. Oh, it's for your safety. It's for your safety. We have all these cameras around everywhere so we can watch the bad guys. We're not concerned about the good guys. But who determines who the bad guys are? Because there's going to be a day when they that think they kill you think they do God's service. That's the tribulation time period doctrinally, but now here it is, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now here's where the born-again believer can be. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice twice it says be sober. Why is that? It's because people are scared of death. They got to take dope to get over their fears. The average criminal will be drunk or on dope to commit his crime because that's what gives them courage, because they're scared to death. And then when they get off the dope, they're scared to death back again. And the thing is, we're not supposed to be like that, because we're supposed to put on the breastplate of faith and love. And Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now here's the kind of power that you're born again believer in Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, you have been given power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Now let's talk about this power for a little bit. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 28, verse 18, he says, all power is given unto me. All power. That's more power than the devil has ever had and all his little imps. I mean, the devil himself is like a bird in your hand where you could crush that bird like that. Compared to God, that's what the God is compared to the devil. Now, the devil's got power. In Luke chapter 4, verse 6, he brought up some sort of a screen to Jesus Christ and, you know, had that remote control, and he showed him all the world systems at one time, it says. In a moment of time, he showed all the world kingdoms. How'd he do that? Nothing to him. You say, well, just TV and only been discovered. Yeah, it took man 6,000 years to figure this out. God had all this in place in Genesis chapter 1. Man's pretty slow, isn't he? The devil just whipped up some screen and he ran that thing through and he showed Jesus Christ. He said, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. How do people get international power? They bow down and worship the devil. That's how they do it. How do rock stars get world power like the way they are? They bow down and worship the devil. How do some of these Christian rockers get some of their fame in America? That same cotton-picking way. They give in to the devil. And then the devil manipulates minds and gets them to buy their album. That's how that stuff works. That power the devil has, but you see, you and I, because of the new birth, have been delivered from that power. We've been translated into a different kingdom. And our power exceeds that. You see, if you see dead fish floating downstream, you have power to walk against the stream. The vast majority of the world system is just going down this path, down the road of destruction, and God has given a born-again believer to walk against the stream. You ever walk against a crowd? It's kind of a fun thing to do. I mean, see them all walking this way and everybody else on this side. Get on the other side and just walk through like that and just see. And see the reaction that people give towards you. That's the same reaction the world would give to a Bible, to a born-again believer. Same thing. But you got the power to walk against it. And see, so that's the power the Lord has given us. Now, this is the power of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said the power of the kingdom of God in Mark 9, verse 1. And what gives us this power is found in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is where the beginning of this power takes place, Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ will save your soul. That's power. Not only that, you have power in the Word of God. When in Luke chapter 4, verse 32, it says that the people were astonished at Jesus Christ's doctrine. It says he spake as one that had power in Luke. Over there in Matthew, it says he spake as one that had authority. But his word was with power. This book right here is such a powerful book, people don't, they underestimate this book right here. This book is so powerful, 9 nations have forbidden this book in their Bible. They're scared of that book. Why does a Muslim, when he sees that old Bible, that King James Bible, why do they sit there? Because that's going to expose Muhammad as a fraud. That's why they don't want that book. You know, Saudi Arabia, you know, why is anybody griping about Saudi Arabia? They don't allow Christians in that country. They torture Christians all the time. Peter Hammond told me that rich people in Saudi Arabia, what they like to do is they go down to the Sudan area. And what they do is the rich leaders of Saudi Arabia go down into Sudan and they get the Muslim leaders to kidnap a few Christians. And then they take these Christians and crucify them. So here they got them on a cross, these Christians, and then these Muslim guys take their rifles and shoot at them just for entertainment. That's entertainment to them. Where's the United Nations on this? They could care less about the Christians. You see, that book is so powerful. That book right there is what's controlling the world system right now. That book. What's holding this world together is that book. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it's the word of this power. That book right there said 2,000 years ago in writing that 666 is going to be the number to control people in the last days. Why don't they change it? Because that book's got power. Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you see, people got these cell phones. A lot of people got cell phones. You know, I'm amazed at these cell phones. And it's going to be hard for us dinglings like me to find a payphone anymore any days because you can't find these things anymore. But these cell phones are powerful things. A little cell phone in a little box, a little thing like that. You can talk in that thing, and that thing can go around the world. But if you don't take that cell phone and hook it in a power source every day, that thing is not going to do a cotton-picking thing for you. You can push all the buttons you want. It's got to get in the power source every day, I'm assuming. That's the way them things work. And that book is our power source. If we don't get in this power source every day, then our battery is going to worn out, and then we don't have any power. That book right there, you have the power of the Holy Ghost, Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. Acts 1, verse 8. That's the Spirit of God came in your body at the moment you got born again. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and on the uttermost part of the earth. At the moment you got born again, God came in your body. The Holy Ghost came in your body. That's power. And that's the power you have. And the power you have because of him, the devils tremble because of him. Now, Satan doesn't. He doesn't tremble at anybody. But the devils do. You see, can you imagine if you could see the spirit world? When you're witnessing the average person in the street, or if you're just talking to somebody, I have witnessed this time and time again. Talking to an individual, they'll be very pleasant to you, very kind about some things. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about sports. You can even talk about religion at times. You can talk about anything. But until you hit that hot spot that devil inside that body, when you hit that hot spot that devil inside that body don't want you to talk about, you will see their eyes glass over that fast. And you'll see a blank stare come in their face, and their eyes will just kind of be staring through you. And you can continue talking, and it ain't getting in. There's a power there that you got to break through. And you see, when you're talking to an unsaved person, even when you're talking to a carnal Christian that's got these devils on them, as you're speaking to them devils are just as nervous as anything, and they're just afraid you're going to say Jesus Christ. They're afraid you're going to take the blood of Jesus Christ and put it right on them. They're afraid of that. In James chapter 2, verse 19, it talks about the devils. It says, you believe in God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. That's the power. You see, the devil's a defeated foe. And it says in James 4, verse 7, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Didn't say he might. That's a promise. That's the spirit of power that you have. Now, the second thing you have is the spirit of love. Now, America's got a goofy idea of what love is. Hollywood has perverted the definition for love. The average American thinks they call it making love. That's called lust. Unless it's in the marriage realm, but still not that. Love is willing to wait, and love is wanting and desiring the best for another person. Love is only manifested when somebody hates you. That's when love is manifested. You display your love when somebody is unlovable. The average person, and the Christians are the same way today, is that you care for somebody because they've done something that you like, or you're in agreement, or they've been nice to you, and so you care for them because they've been nice to you. But love is being nice and caring for somebody because they hate you. That's what real love is. People don't realize what love is. Love is, people think that God is a God of love, which he is, and so they interpret that means God is going to forgive everybody. No, the vast majority of people die and go to hell. God is not some great big two lips in the sky is going to kiss everybody when they show up. God is holy. And the thing about this thing called love, God demonstrated his love because he died for the sinner. He died for the ungodly. Now you and I also, you show your love for God by trying to love somebody that doesn't love God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Basically, the way this thing runs is that God loves you first. And you realize God's patience and his mercy he displayed upon you when you didn't care about the things of God. And so now you can love God back. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. But what about that unlovable person on the street? Verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And I can tell you, born again believers or the professing Christians are going to be, if you're standing true in this Bible, the ones that are going to be standing against you more than anybody will be professing Christians. Who are the ones that crucified Jesus Christ? It was the Judaizers. The ones who professed to follow the same religion Jesus Christ followed. So if your life is like Jesus Christ, if your ministry is like Jesus Christ, then you're going to have the same opposition Jesus Christ had. He said he had Roman opposition. But who pushed the Romans? It was the professing Judaizers. That's who pushed them. And so you're going to discover that the fellow Christians are going to be the ones hassling you more than anything. And this Bible says you got to love them. This book says you got to do what you can to win them over to the right way. And this is what God wants to do. And that's how you demonstrate your love. You see, you got to love lost souls of men. But you see, these lost souls of men and these professing Christians, when you try to bring them to the gospel, they're going to say all sorts of things to you, and you can't take it personally. And the reason why you don't want to take it personally is because most of the time it's not them saying it. It's going through them. And you consider the source. You see, for example, if somebody like a Ted Kennedy said about me, you know, that he's a real idiot, from Ted Kennedy, I would take that as a great compliment. Consider the source. You see? And if a devil or a spirit is trying to detract you, try to deter you away from the truth of this thing, take that as a compliment. You can tell a lot about a man's enemies. A lot of times when people send out resumes, they're only going to put their friends on them. If I would ask for a man's resume, I would want him to put three of his friends, but then I would ask him to put on there three of his worst enemies. Because you can get more truth from his worst enemies than you can from the friends. See, both sides of the coin there. But you see, a lot of times people spout words, and what they're spouting is words that they got from the devil. If the Lord himself took personally what Simon Peter said to him, do you think he would have forgave him? The Lord told Simon Peter, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, I'm going to get killed, I'm going to suffer many things of the scribes and Pharisees. And Simon Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. And the Lord looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. Simon Peter was saying something, but those words came from the devil right through him. And you see, don't you think that goes on all every day? And so when your loved ones, when your family members who you're trying to win to Jesus Christ or either win right to the right way, they're going to say things that are very hurtful. It's not them saying it. It's a spirit coming through them. And you can't take it personally. You got to look at that way. Now, what's going to help you to look at it that way is a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, we are not under the spirit of fear, but of love. But of power and of love and a sound mind. You're going to have to think these things through. And a sound mind is a firm mind. It's a reasonable mind. It's a healthy mind. It's a mind that understands the truth. If you would look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I believe that you're supposed to take this Bible and try to reason with people out of the scriptures. That's what Paul did. But the problem is, people, what if their mind is not clear? What if their mind has been blinded? And we're living in a day and age where mind control is a very powerful thing. And with internet and TV and the modern technology of today, mind control is a very easy thing to do. Manipulation of people's minds. The news media tries to do this every election. You know who the news media wants elected every time. They give good press to who they like. They give bad press to who they don't like. And if you elect who they don't like, then they're going to hound that guy for the next how many years he's in office. They tell you who they don't want. You see, that's a form of mind control. It's not the news. See, it's propaganda. And see, the more you know these things, when you read through these things, you can understand this, but you got to think it through. You got to have a sound mind. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now you have a subtle form of mind control, but then if you get into the higher levels, you got this ultra mind control. But you see, what happens is the devil will get people in a passive state. Hypnosis is a very dangerous thing to be a part of. I mean, I can remember in high school, they'd have these people come in, and you'd have all I forget what they called them, but they'd have like a session where everybody comes in the gym, and so you got about, you know, all the whole school's in there. And I can remember this one case where they put three or four students under hypnosis. That's a passive state. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. Now, if you go back and study each of those kids that put under hypnosis, I'll bet you their life has been greatly affected since then. Because that's one of the best ways to pull in devils that way. That's a wide open door for devils to come in. And you see, that's what's involved with drugs and drinking. What do they call liquor? What's another word for liquor? It's called spirits. Why is it called spirits? Because that mind gets in a passive state. And people will do things when they're drunk or when they're in dope that they would never do in their right mind. Their mind is blinded. And then they suffer for years and years because they took that drink. They took that dope. You say, well, then they become a victim. In a way, they're a victim, but yet they are responsible for taking a drink. You see, where people they've made it now where everybody's a victim nowadays. Well, in essence, that's a grain of truth because, you know, they're using the spirits. But you see, we have a free will where we can say no to those things. You see, where they're still responsible. But you see, as far as this thing goes, this world is being controlled by this mind system. And so you and I got to understand this with a sound mind, and we got to understand how to break through that. And you break through that with prayer and the blood of Christ and the Word of God. What the devil will do is he'll destroy the communication lines. That's how you win battles. You destroy the communication line between the generals and the soldiers. And the general, the captain of our salvation, is Jesus Christ. And if he can destroy the communication line, that's why they hate this book so much. That's why 99% of the Christian colleges in this country will attack this old King James Bible. They're destroying that communication lines between the general, Jesus Christ, and you and I, the dog-faced soldiers down here. And so, but the devil will still change around those things, and he'll take that seed out of people's hearts. And so what you pray is Psalms 119, verse 80 is the thing you got to pray for. You got to pray for a sound mind, and you got to pray that God helps you study sound words. And this is your ultimate conclusion, Psalms 119, verse 80. The psalmist said, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." That's a good prayer to pray. God, please open my mind. Give me a sound mind as I study sound words. And God, please help me to have sound doctrine. That's a prayer you pray. But see, when you're dealing with people that don't have that mind, their mind is blinded, then you and I have to understand the power that we have and to pray to break through that mind problem. And pray that God gives this person an opportunity to hear the gospel freely without any interference, without any static on the line, without any interference from the devils. And we got to be able to pray that God gives this person an opportunity to freely accept or reject the gospel. Now, when they reject it, hey, it's on their head. But you can keep praying for them. And they're going to say all sorts of things to try to deter you from giving that gospel out, because those spirits inside know that if this person accepts what you give them, then they're going to have to change a residence. And they like where they're at. And so this is what the Lord has given us, the power that a born-again believer has. And people just don't realize the power you got as a born-again believer. And you need to utilize that power for the glory of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see that we are not under the spirit of fear, but we're going to be around multitudes of people who are. And Lord, I pray that the power that you have given every born-again believer that we can see the power that's been given to us, and that we can love that person who is being under mind control, their mind is blinded. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be concerned for them and pray for them and intercede for them so that they might have an opportunity to hear the truth and recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven, you are nothing but a mere robot. You are down the road to destruction. It ain't going to land up in hellfire. And when you come to Jesus Christ and realize your lost condition, and you can come to the Savior, Jesus Christ, who has all power, has been given unto him, all power. And that he will save your soul through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you can have power and love and a sound mind to walk with this holy God. The instruments plays, the altar's open if you need it. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then it says, and what shall separate us from the love of God? Neither principalities, that's the devil, nor powers, that's all his little imps, that's the workers of iniquity, nor death, nor life. And it gives a few other things, and it says, nothing shall separate you from the love of God. But yet we need to be a conqueror of Jesus Christ and walk as conquerors of Jesus Christ and utilize the power that he's given us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see the power that you've given, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Word of God. And this power is in the kingdom of God. And this power is over unclean spirits. And Lord, we have power over our own body. And Lord, I pray you'd help us first to conquer ourselves, our flesh, put it down. And then to be a conquering soldier of Jesus Christ. And use this power and love and a sound mind to be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed.